Blog Talk Radio.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You have found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Well, it's Christmas time, but you know what? We got to do it. Cool and the Gang, Summer Madness. That classic piece of music. And as we say, this is applicable. As if we were in Fortaleza, Brazil, São Paulo, Brazil, Caxias, Brazil, or maybe hot summer day in New York City, or cold wintry day in New Haven, Connecticut. Hey, there you go. That's where the day at the mansion. GW Mike and family invited me up. Thanks for inviting here. Invitation. Fucking us today. Come up. The show. We're doing the show. Back to back show. Yesterday out at MetLife Stadium where the Jets once again didn't know how to end, but they didn't win. 14-7 Chargers beat them. Chargers looking to make the playoffs. And the Jets go to New England and maybe make life miserable for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots if they play New Year's Eve next Sunday. Next Sunday, the Doctor fans will be heading to the Cayman Islands as my darling daughter Demi will be getting ready to get married. So Michael Lynch, I know the name so well because Travis is already married to his brother, Scott Lynch. Only in America, Don King will say. Hoping for prayer as we always do. Then we're going to just talk sports, come up here, they ask me questions. They think I know everything. I think I know everything. Nobody knows everything. But it's a pleasure to be here. The steak is here. The wine is homemade and legal. With some Lakers here. But it's a great time. We're going to pray. And then we're going to just talk. Mike's got some baseball cards. Name's going to come up. Great card here. Show you. So, he's wearing number one playing infielder for the Chicago White Sox. Dad asked me, best infielder you ever thought, Nelly Fox and Louis Aparicio. And you know what? You say, whoa, it's better than Cooper and Kapitcher. But then again, is it better than Lescal and Howard? Questions and answers. I have a great time here. Greatest baseball player of all time, Willie Mays, greatest center fielders. They named some. They mentioned Joseph Paul DiMaggio. Did you know that Joe DiMaggio, Nick DiMaggio, and Vincent DiMaggio all had the same little blood sugar thumb? The middle name was Paul. Named after their father's favorites. Dr. Ellie spoke to the blog, Dr. Ellie, Trust Chicago Network. John Coltrane, leaders of the play, discovered by Miles D. Davis. Let's say it's the next one play of all time. Miles Davis, the three greatest pitchers of all time. Him, Louis Armstrong, he's fighting for this. Dr. Ellie spoke to the blog, Dr. Ellie, Trust Chicago Network. Cool again in. Right? Let's do this. Nat King Cole opened up with a song written by Mel from Dad said, this is the greatest talent around. And he's top 10, he's posted a blog on the Trust Yourself Network. Let's go. Mansion, just close and did some prayer. It's Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Natal. Portuguese, Mansion, English. Happy. We'll say that. So how do you say Merry Christmas? Thank you. Okay, that's the good. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah, with English red. Dr. Danny Sportsman at Bob Sack Radio on the Trust of God. But in every call, on the best. So, for them, have your will, have your think for this day. For example, your son. We ask you, Lord, not to. When I say talking about this, more family that is very special. Blessings to my family that sent me up. That's his blessing, all the blessings in the name. Darkness. Remember, keep the Christ in Christmas. Temptations, though, will give us a little Christmas music, and we're going to talk sports. Everything. Yes, Kate, yes, talk sports. And the Giants, which is open surprise. Temptations! Give love up. And the first time I heard that song, it was by a group of five guys. And little at the lead singer, they became Jack.
Would people make English by special
game? Oh, come on over here. No, come on, come on. Boston, the Boston Red Sox trying to scream out here. I want to sit out here. Come over here. Come over here. You know, come on over here. The Boston Red Sox. Here's a guy lives in Yankee area. He's talking to Red Sox. We got a chance to shout and yell. Thanks to best second base around now is a guy that plays second base for the Red Sox, who is one hell of a young player. A good player. But come on, let's go. What you got? Get some questions. Let's talk here. Red Sox, what are you going to do this year? What do you think about the Yankees getting Stanton now? That's not a good thing for you guys.
It's not a good thing for the Red Sox, but I also think that the Yankees, he's a little injury prone, and I don't think Judge is going to have the year he had last year, so I think we'll be right there.
You know what? The Judge thing, though, Unc, I think we got to look at it. When we found out that he was injured, you know, he finished the home runs, you know. So, I mean, I think, you know, he might have hit 60, but the fact that he was injured and he did so exceptional, I think we got to look forward to the fact that he maybe could have just as good or maybe even a better year.
But the thing that bothered me about Judge was he batted 172 for the 6 weeks straight, struck out 212 times for the year. He's 25 years old. He's got to improve.
Yeah, but okay, we know why he batted 166. He was hurt. But you talk about striking out. Here's two facts for you. When Babe Ruth retired from baseball, he was the all-time strikeout king. When Mickey Mantle retired from baseball, he was the all-time strikeout king. You know, so, I mean, you know, if you strike out, you strike out. But I just think we have to look at the fact that, I just think if he's playing and he stays healthy, we got to look at that fact. You mentioned the point about Stanton. You know, here's a guy that has a lot of injury problems. And more importantly, I looked at the thing, you know, the guy's never hit 300. I heard, rumor has it, that he couldn't get along with Barry Bonds as the batting coach. Now, how do you have a problem with Barry Bonds as the batting coach? But the point you made, he does get hurt a lot. So there's a chance here for the Yankees. Yeah, I mean, they could have made a mistake.
I think that he's going to help them tremendously. But I would put him in left field. I wouldn't DH him. I'd DH Sanchez, okay, and put Romine behind the plate. They might save a few more games that way, okay? They might have beat the Red Sox last year if they had Romine, okay, behind the plate.
What kind of Red Sox fan are you helping the Yankees? What are you doing here? I mean, because you know you're right. So what kind of – are you swaying here, Unc? Is this the homemade wine?
I'm just talking factual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just talking sports. That's just my opinion.
You know, I think a big factor, and that could be a big factor, but you made a point earlier, you know, managers don't win games and they lose them. And Girardi lost that game in Cleveland. And what really hit me was that the catcher's telling him, not the third baseman, not the left fielder, the catcher's telling him to appeal the play and that the ball hit the bat. And that could be a little thing that turned out to be a big thing.
That's because when they run the replay, okay, in the clubhouse, the person in charge didn't get back to them in time. Okay, in other words, you only have a certain amount of time, okay, in other words, to come back, okay, and to challenge that play. My guess was that they said that it was that didn't happen. All right, so I think that's why he didn't do it. But it did cost him the game, and it probably cost him his job.
I think you should fire the guy. But my thing is here, if the catcher is there and tells you to do it, shoot the guys in replay, just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Especially when the catcher's there because he's right on top of the play.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, what's the matter with you?
I mean, outside of you, maybe the umpire said, go listen to the catcher.
I know, but if the catcher's telling you, in other words, that the ball hit the bat, you have to challenge the play.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it worked out for him that they happened to win. You and the wife have to leave, huh? Yeah?
Okay,
she's okay. Are you a sports fan at all, Elizabeth?
No.
Unless it's just a follower, you know what I mean? Okay, gang, we'll talk to you a little while. Boston Red Sox, Jets, a football fan, any football team? New England?
I'm a Patriots fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Brady fan, but there's a lot of stuff going out there. They said that Brady is still not that good. Brady's the best quarterback that ever suited up.
Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. Now, see, my problem, Doc Stanley Sports Net blog talk made on the Trust and Guard, live from New Haven, from the, where are you going? Sit back down. Sit back down. From the Dallas Cheer. Well, see, my thing with today's quarterbacks is, you know, it's like me and Artie were talking about power forwards. What's this power forward, small forward? A forward gets me rebounds, you know? How can you be a guard and you can't shoot a jump shot, but you can dribble? Now, my problem, and Brady doesn't fit that category anymore, neither did Peyton, he calls his own play. But how can you be a quarterback and the coach is calling all the plays? So I don't feel today's quarterbacks qualify to be quarterbacks because one of the things that a quarterback does is call his own plays. I think Brady is in the top five of all time. I think he's done a great job with what's given him. They've never been the same team since they lost Randy Moss. They were probably – they could have been ranked as one of the two or three greatest teams of all time. Not only that, Randy Moss made Wes Welker. No Randy Moss, you have no Wes Welker. And if you remember, they broke the record for receivers and touch. But I think, as a Jets fan, I think Dan agreed too. One of the things that helped the Patriots, they had to win the games, but they had what they do, they beat the Jets, Miami, and Buffalo. They're 6-0. They got 10 games, they're 500 football. They're going to win the division every year.
Yes, they are going to win a division.
They have, right?
They have. Of course they have. When you have Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, okay, you're going to win.
I think Belichick doesn't get the credit he does. We talk about everything, but we don't talk about the great job he does as a coach.
He's the greatest coach that ever coached any sports team. Okay, now you talk about Vince Lombardi.
Hold on. Okay, he wasn't that great at Cleveland. He wasn't that great when he was coaching Cleveland, okay?
Five Super Bowls, 17 years.
I'm talking about Cleveland now. I'm talking about Cleveland.
Okay, we're talking about Cleveland. No, he wasn't. He wasn't that great at Cleveland. But he sure is great at New England now.
No, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. I mean, I think he won two Super Bowls he shouldn't have won. But, okay, we're talking baseball, the Red Sox. We're talking about Ted Williams. Greatest hitter of all time, in your opinion?
Greatest hitter of all time. 520-something home runs. 520. 5 years in the service. Jet pilot in the Marines. Okay, in other words, if he didn't miss those 5 years, he would have beat out Babe Ruth for the most home runs. And what kind of player has a batting average of what was he batting in the last day of the season and he wanted to go in and play? And he went 4-for-6. And what did he bat?
406.
Okay, because he got the four hits.
And you know, the thing about him, too, he lost two triple crowns in the last day of the season. He won two.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that 5 year period, he wins at least another one, another two. At least he wins one more. And I don't think you've noticed, gang, Hardy, Dad, Mike. You know, when Joe DiMaggio won his third MVP, and I told Don Mattingly this, Ted Williams won two triple crowns, and in both years he didn't win the MVP. Staggering. Okay, good, Dad.
If Ted Williams batted in Yankee Stadium, he would have had a lot more home runs. It would have been a perfect park for him.
Well, there was talk of him. There was talk of the supposedly the big trade. They heard of the supposedly they were going to do Jody. They felt what you said. It's an injustice.
They're going to do a swap.
Yeah, Ted should be in a stadium, and yeah. Joe should be. But supposedly I heard that at the last minute, Yorkie said, "Hey, you know what? Throw that little guy in here and make it even." You know, the little guy was 3-time MVP, one of the greatest catchers of all time, Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
And they said, "No, it's not. It's not going to happen," and it didn't happen.
Getting back to Judge.
Hold on, Dad. Hold on. Let me come over here. Dad wants to say his piece. He's a Jet fan. We're on now. We're on right here. Come on, Dad. Kick it, baby. Kick it to me.
Getting back to Judge. Okay. Remember when Maurison Mantle batted third? Maurison get off to a good start. So Mantle batted.
It's what Rob Hawkins, Mantle fourth,
and Maurison third. If they do this today because all the pressure was on Judge, which I don't think was a good idea when you have a man hitting 50 home runs batting second. That number two spot should have been for the shortstop. What's his name?
D. Gregorio.
Okay? To be honest with you, when Judge is going to bat third this year, the pressure is going to be on Stanton, so he's going to get all the pitches. And we'll see how he does this year, and I'll lay 10-1. He'll bat 60, 65 home runs like anything.
Well,
he batted 15 home runs, and all the pressure was on him, and he had six bad weeks. And if he pays attention, this man is going to be one of the greatest all-time ball players that ever lived. And he's just like Jeter, never gets mad. He's the Jeter of baseball, and this man is going to be one of the all-time, and I think he will break Babe Ruth's record.
Well, the point that's quite valid.
If he stays healthy. If he stays healthy.
And you know, the thing about it, too, we're talking about Stanton in the cleanup spot and Judge going to the third slot. 1960, when we talked about it earlier, the year that Roger Maris had 60 home runs, and you know what, fans, I'll tell you, listening, you can call me at 646-200-0373, 646-200-0373. Got a half an hour or so. If you can tell me how many walks Roger Maris got in the year that he had 61 home runs, I got a gift for you, okay? 646-200-0373. At the end of the show, I'll tell you. You called me to understand that the record at one time was 50. Ted Williams and the first baseman that played for the Toronto, I can't think of his name. John Olerud. Olerud and Ted Williams once shared the record of 50. Barry Bonds shattered the record. No, they had 30. It was Willie McCovey who had 50. Barry Bonds shattered the record, 101. But tell me how many intentional walks you think Roger Maris got in 1961, the year 600 runs. That's got a gift for you. We're talking about Judge. We're talking about Stan. Uncle Dean made a great point. Stan has a propensity to get hurt. He's never hit 300. But I tell you what happened now. The year that Jeff Kent won MVP, Dusty Baker flipped. Dusty Baker flipped Barry Bonds from third to fourth, put Kent in third. That was it. Kent won the MVP because they said, "I'd rather pitch to Jeff Kent." Barry Bonds. Yeah, what did he won? He went absolutely. He didn't go crazy. He went absolutely crazy.
got a little Pete here later on, Mr. Three. Well, you know, and now here's a question for you.
Don't move, Mike. Is Jeff Kent a Hall of Famer?
No.
Why not?
2-3 good years doesn't make you a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, he had some outstanding numbers. In his era, he was the best in the state. I mean, my thing is, if we can put Sandberg in, we can put Kent in. He was every bit of offensive threat that Sandberg was.
Yeah, but I think Sandberg had more longevity than Kent did.
That's a good stat. I have to look at that stat. I think they were coming about equal. I think Sandberg was a little more flamboyant.
And I think he was a better fielder than Kent, too, in other words. I think he was a much better fielder than Kent.
Well, you know, we can argue that because he got a lot of Golden Glove Awards because of his bat. And talking to one of his teammates, he said the guy never dove for a ball. If you didn't hit it straight at him, he had no range. They said if you didn't hit it at him, he wasn't going to catch it.
Winning the Gold Glove is like, show me the money.
Yeah, but winning the Gold Glove doesn't mean you're always the best fielder. It just means that sometimes you're the best guy. Because you got to look on favoritism here. You know, one coach likes the guy. One guy. You know, Mike hits .287, and he's a better fielder, but Artie hits .392. He gets the Gold Glove. The Gold Glove is for the best fielder. I got to go to Daddy. Come on, say something.
No, go ahead, go.
You know, okay, thanks, man. Your little Pete here. Go ahead, Dad. What we got?
You're worried about with the Golden Glove, the statistics that you have. Now, your statistics also come with the Golden Glove. I think the Golden Glove should be just about fielding because this is why we have the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown does the home runs, the batting score, and RBIs. So I don't understand with the Golden Glove, what does that have to do about your hitting or anything? It's all about fielding.
I agree with you, but what happened too far?
What do the people pull?
The point you make, Doc Stanley Sports and the Block Talk Radio Trust Authority, the point you make, they have the Silver Slugger Award, which goes to the best offensive person at the position.
Yeah.
The point that you make is so valid, because here's the point. Willie Mays won the Gold Glove 12 years in a row. In his 13th year, he didn't get the award, but Pete Rose won it with a Gold Glove. Now, there's nowhere in the world could Pete Rose ever outfield Willie Mays, but
no.
It's all about popularity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But Pete Rose, I understand what happened with him, but the statistics are there, over 4,000 hits. He wasn't the most respected baseball player. He wasn't the cleanest baseball player in the world either because he was something like Ty Cobb, but to be perfectly honest with you, it was his year.
Hey, look, listen, Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame. There's no need to argue. You talk about Ty Cobb, the vote racist, no member of the Ku Klux Klan. Hey, first guy voting in the Hall of Fame. Listen, I love Mike,
yeah.
Love my brother. I like Tio, but the base is loaded. Ty Cobb is going to hit for me. Ty Cobb is going to. We ain't got to go to dinner. We ain't got to hang out. I'm trying to win the game. Hey, Ty, go ahead up there. Get the ball, baby.
Another point when you don't get the people in for steroids right now. I know that's a whole different issue. But when you talk about guys that are banned for gambling, it's absolutely absurd. The guy belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, you know, Mike, we got Mike Artie here. The thing about gambling is the hypocrisy of baseball. When the game was founded on gambling. Gambling propelled baseball to where it is.
Another question I have is, should you blame Jose Canseco or give him praise? Because he was the core of the path to all the steroid scandals and stuff.
There's a great line that Dr. King said, it's always the right time to tell the truth and do the right thing.
Yeah. So should they commend Jose Canseco or should they bash him?
Truth is the truth.
Truth is the truth. No, I agree.
You see, Jose was hoping that
$5 million question. Listen, you're right. I agree 100%.
What do you do with that, though?
No, the thing, I was talking about Jose Canseco. Should some people blame him and some people commend him because a lot of people think that steroids should be allowed in the MLB because that's what attracts the fans, and what attracts the fans is home runs. It goes back to the movie 61 when Roger Maris was in a slump, and the guy said, I don't care about your average. I pay you to hit home runs. I pay you to hit home runs, and that's been the core of getting the fans. What, home runs? So, you know, some fans want the home runs. They want the steroids and what the players doing, the steroids doing home runs. But now, like I said, it's a toss up. It's a 50-50.
So the hypocrisy was that the powers that be knew what was going on, and I've long said steroids, it doesn't make you a better player. Steroids will help rejuvenate your body together. If you can't in your kids, you can't run, you can't run. So I thought it was sort of a hypocrisy what was going on. Bringing for baseball. I mean, last year, the guy who was commissioner of baseball got ducked into the Hall of Fame. So, whoa. If you can put him in, we can't put Barry and Clemens in. I think we can say, probably, that a certain stage in Barry's career where it's not been so called perceived, they still Hall of Fame. The little Barry, big Barry.
I say this about the whole steroid epidemic. Right. We're in an era right now. We're still tiptoeing around. Everybody can sit here and say they don't belong in the Hall of Fame, right? They cheated. But when you talk to athletes on the team, everyone does it. And I won't stab anybody.
Mike, real quick. So, Rick Rob was on the show. Everybody's doing. Who's cheating?
So, again. How do you justify this? Again, I'll sit here and tell you, I will never put any names out there, but at this point in the game, boxing has become so watered down and bled us dry as writers. I was watching one of the state commissioners that had this test right in the locker room after a fight. They were skeptical of one of the fighters in a big championship fight. This situation is there. So, in order to hurt at this point in a game like this, your best bet is to make them try and make part of the enhancement.
A lot of people are trying to come around and say, hey, what, you know, Barry should be. I mean, supposedly, the delay in Bagwell, but that they were guys who did drugs. So, finally, now, Bagwell, we're going to put them out of there. And we thought they used them. We've got to put experience in. I mean, especially if we can't prove that they did it. So
just put in that area, just put part of the enhancement area. You can't, if you didn't catch them, put part of that area. Two sets of records and let the fans be the judge.
Steroids was brought into baseball by. By because we're going to the offensive game. Any last word?
Just let me give you a little bit of comments here. Part of Thomas was 26 in a three of baseball. That took Viagra before he pitched to give him more stamina. So there's all this you know about steroids.
Hey, get that blue pill, baby. Nothing else will make you a game winner. Hold on, we got to say goodnight. Let the wife come up and say Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everyone. New Haven, Connecticut.
Yes. My pleasure, man.
Talks about you all the time, and we got to meet him.
Yeah. Love Kathy here.
Back online, Block Talk Radio, Dr. Family Sports and Debt. Back talking about the baseball and steroid era. Then, should we combine them with the forefathers of baseball? What do you say? Well, then, Doc, again, going back to it's a real touchy subject when you talk a lot of the old timers about baseball.
I can't understand. I hear the biggest obstacle for people to do that is that the old timers.
lot of these people are so
It, I think what happened with Pete Rose is if Pete Rose had the personality of a Derek Jeter, I think Pete Rose would have been in the year after. Pete Rose upset a lot of people. He's a real tough guy. I could have. I had encounters with Pete Rose. Encounters were horrible. That would have been mean old man. But do I take that? I take that away.
I think what's happened with him. Every time he's been around, he's been successful. He's had a great time. He's starting to feel that.
He had tough skin. I mean, here's a guy that would dive into you. I mean, I'm watching this guy go head first into catchers.
Yeah. Also, how many years did he play? He had a very long career, which means...
Listen.
That's a good thing. Well, my point is...
Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose was a great player. In the conversation.
It's me.
And this. The Hall of Fame is not valid.
Baseball is that true power. They want to. The Baseball Hall of Fame has that true power. All right, they want to act between kids. Bottom line is, from 1989, they knew that they were running out of money. Kids are getting a little bit out of it. So what do they want? So don't act like when you let it happen, when, just like it, you want to return a blind eye. I remember it happened when we were kids in our generation, all of the baseball. All of a sudden, that home run, guys were going bananas. You don't balloon up. Have the best strength and condition in the world. You don't balloon up that much. 30, 40 pounds. You start smacking the ball.
As does you think about a certain play, he says, you know, you don't get older and hit a ball further.
Can I say one thing back to what he said about, you know, how he took care of his body? They'll say, okay, oh, well, he only hit 4,200 home hits because he had a 23 or 21 season career. How about appreciating how he took care of his body? Like, not many baseball players were able to have that career to go from, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, appreciate him as an athlete that he was able to play over 20 years.
Some guys don't play 10 years anymore.
That's what I'm saying. So, Pete Rose, my brother's right. He might be top 10.
No, Pete Rose got to be the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Does a man to go from the early 60s to the early 80s?
His resume shows MVP. His resume shows batting. His resume shows World Series. Championship.
Absolutely.
You know, New Haven was talking. Let's go to those cars. Uncle up here, big boss, Red Sox man, Ted Williams, last man to hit the 4.
I'm going to go. Yeah, I found
him. He's going to take his car. Let's give me the red car.
I'm gonna pull a name out of left field, and this is a name you don't hear about much because it's also a phenomenal about Mike Schmidt.
We signed him between great home run.
A third baseman, Lloyd, third baseman, supposed to be 35 or so. Yeah. I think Smith, she said he should. That's going to be Gary Carter. The Mets. But the thing is, he was a great player. He told us that he didn't have the kind of reports he had with the media that he'd like to have had. But, you know, you do understand. It was really amazing. Yeah. Eddie Murray was really amazing. And if Eddie Murray was the best that the media sometimes got on, Eddie said he should tell Mike, I can't play this game. But he was the first ballot Hall of Famer. He was the first ballot Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? And he said he had to add it. First ballot, hey, so, and he just after he's such a guy by field. That's the one. Good. I have to go to dinner. We have to hang out. Like I said, I just said before. I got three guys. I got the bases loaded. Ty Cobb, my brother James, the two RE, you know, Ty Cobb's going to play. How are you feeling? Ty, I love you, man. Ty, you know, hell with Ty. We're hanging out because Ty got that hit that was in the game. He's done the guy what he does on the field, man. And I said this too, you know, one of the great lines that Doc talked about, this person by Pat Caprio and not by color of skin. And your fantasy need to be able to talk that. You know? I mean, you guys, me, Mom, Michael, Dad, he acts like no 50 years. Two places to be in because you're good people, man. And Pete was that kind of guy. Sometimes society holds that against Pete. You know what I mean? Who got hung up in flicks. There was a big thing in that Cincinnati clubhouse, man. There was a beat hole in Tennessee, and there was a tiny basement down. They told Joe Rogan, but you can't be talking. You know what I mean? So, one of the things that helped is that Pete was the kind of guy that still beat by the content of his character. Among the personality, among the politics, among the color. And, you know, sometimes people assume to the position of power. Forget the petty things. To me, man, you know, it's no question. I mean, how does each commissioner see it the same way other commissioners? People should be in.
They were tough as nails, too. Makes my sense after this.
I thought this was 6. 8.6? So, really? We're double checking here. We may have to cut the show here. I may have to go, y'all. 8.6 the rest? Okay, what time is it?
8:18.
Can we make it?
Oh, we can still make it.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep the show going, but I got to go. Not the show. I just got to go. Not the show, you know? What did I deserve your most what's that for me? It was good there. Okay, so we're going to do it. I thought it would be a lot longer, but having a great time. It's not the wrong one to do. At the, hey, yo, Dad! I think, give me one quarterback. My team, I know you're talking.
Joe Namath.
One more time. Broadway Joe. You know what? I knew. You know what? And this is a good human. And everybody's full because Joe Namath.
Because Joe Namath. The man. Had it all. Movies, he had it all.
Won the Super Bowl MVP, Artie, didn't throw a touchdown in the game. They didn't hear me, Dad. Won the Super Bowl MVP and didn't throw a touchdown. Only quarterback won the Super Bowl MVP and didn't throw a touchdown.
Not one.
I guess it's probably the greatest benefit of all time.
And it's same to claim Bowie's Dodgins, he's so green.
Mean Joe Green.
And
the thing about Joe, the game is different.
Yeah.
In those days, there were things you could do to quarterbacks then that would, you know, they'd be shameless. Hey, you know what I mean? They beat up on Joe.
Yeah.
You know, they could throw him around. They can do the same thing.
Can do that.
Different world today.
All right. You know, no one shows up on the same time. I would say
Okay, you know what? If we got some more time. Yeah, I don't have to go, so there's more show. There's a lot of show to go.
Which way?
Practice, outfield practice, and you work hard.
that, you know, like I said, the old days over, and they should go back to the old days and go back to the fundamentals.
You got to salute it for the job you did. For the sport. But you know what?
Come on. You want to cut from the same floor?
No,
I
think it was proper back.
I can tell you right now, this is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for, again, it's great that you guys are touching on away from the pros. We talk about the basics. All right. I can sit here and I can tell you right, my son can look at me. A game class, my son scored 31.
Yeah.
And I could sit here and they were upset with me, but I scolded him. Did not scold him because he didn't do well. I scolded him because every single thing was like that. 30 shots. This is, did we win this game? No. The problem is every single person watches what they see on the television set and three drop a 3-point shot. And you do not see the fundamentals of a regular layup. Everybody's missing a layup. These are the prime example, just little league,
Mike,
that little
you know what,
basketball.
Matty Johnson, my good buddy, heard him talk the story. He's a kid. His dad taught him how to dance. The first time he went to a fundamental situation, the coach said, okay, all you guys are left-handed, go to the right side. All you guys right-handed, go to the left side. Now lay it all up. And you can do it. He had a dad back there.
We talk about guys, where to train, where to coach. You talk about a guy, where is the apprentice for a plumber?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the guy that mentored him? Where's the guy that mentored an electrician? They're gone. Nobody knows about the history of what came before them. You know, Mike Tyson probably last one. Mike Tyson was the last heavyweight champion that represented the work ethic of the heavyweight title as an American.
And he's going to be the last heavyweight champion.
After Gus Amato died, and him winning the championship at 20 years old, he feels that he conquered everything in life. And then after that, it really turned his life around.
I mean, once when he didn't have any, you know, when he lost items from Cuss, and also when he lost his manager, his name escapes me.
Rooney?
Not Rooney, the manager, Jim Jeffries.
Okay.
And Jim was a vital part of his life. He had those old black and white films, man.
Yeah.
People forget with us that Ali and Mike were about, they were students.
Yeah.
They were professors.
I understand. And, conquering achieving a championship at 20 years old, it's not good.
No,
you know, there's nothing to conquer anymore. It comes to achieve. It's all over.
Well, yeah, you know,
20 or 12.
Well,
yeah, that's
right. Get the start.
Everybody takes a certain age.
Well, but I mean, as long as you had Jim, he's
around. Well, you know, not to go back to the fundamentals of life, back to baseball. So it's like you guys were talking about how the trying to go with what my brother said too about, you know, the kids, like when my nephew, his son, dropped 31 points and him being, you know, bullying him. I think more of it should, like, for instance,
we live in a side me as a week.
And
Magic said, okay, I mean, you got 53. Magic Johnson said, we can't keep winning against 2 points again.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You know what? We talk about this once in a while. Even when I was wrong, no matter what sport it is, it was second and third place. to me, that was it. If you came,
yeah, there's 13th place trophies. There's all around. There's more special awards. You know what it's like? It's like the WBC Silver Diamond.
You know what, Donnie? You're saying the bow stick,
paper champions.
It's not whether if you win or lose, how you play the game. All right, if you ain't playing the game, then how you play.
Yeah. So you're going to peak. So let me get this straight. The guy who's 17-8 from Detroit, Michigan, who won the UFWPCA Silver Diamond.
All right, stop it.
But the thing is, all the locals think he's the world champion. Don't be surprised if it's a real belt. It's like, can I say one more thing?
I would just say it might be a real belt.
No, I'm telling you. What did Carver Lane say, Rock? He's the champion.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Please let me say one more thing. I see my nephew's generation, all my nephew's generation. Like, when I lost to the first place team, second place, like, it wasn't enough. They need to lose to win. You need to have that. So you see the kid being happy because he won the seventh place trophy? No. You're supposed to. So you motivate yourself to beat that team. You don't peak with 13th place trophy. But this is the society we live in. It's acceptable.
Man, what can you measure a champion?
I go to towns outside of New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, I understand the way of life. Oh, okay, we have to cut the game because we have to go here. Where I come from, baseball didn't have time. You play till it was dark out. You don't, okay, well, we can only, it's the top of the sixth. All right, it's six, top of the sixth. We have to go. There's no time in baseball. I don't care what.
Let's talk to Muhammad Ali. Okay. Because I've been on I'm on my game lately. How great this guy was. So, talk about great. Floyd Mayweather claims made it PBA. Floyd Mayweather never fought out of Las Vegas and brought that kind of stellar to Muhammad Ali. Everywhere. No, so it just to the point where this guy not only just his fights, he did this in where they were basically building it from ground up. The whole Zach here, this made history. It wasn't just a boxing event, it's an historic event. It's one thing to be in a good fight, like Hagler. But this was epic stuff.
Once again, Durant fighting, amazing fight. I remember Durant came for a fight. Back then, he spoke to the network. He's here. Audience here. I remember for the fight. And looking down at the top of the ring, watching the ring, and there's a guy, says, hey, my fight.
I put the guys in battle. So what are you fucking? What are you doing?
You want my version of Ali? You really want my real version of Ali? Okay. The man. I didn't respect him not going into the army. Okay? And did they penalize him? Yes, he has absolutely come in. As far as his fight ability, he was okay. I was a joke. All right.
Next person.
All right. And as far as Kenny Norton, I thought Kenny Norton beat in the fight that he did. Now, do I respect him? Not as a fighter, but I respect him as a human being, what he did after his fighting days were over. There were many, you know, the Leon Smith would win the third championship, you know, championship three times. That was the biggest hope of them all. But as far as a human being, what he did for people, I respect that 100%. As far as a fighter, I never had a you know, and the Army maybe did it with a lot of things. Whatever his beliefs are, everybody has their own beliefs. But he took the title away from us, which was the right thing to do. I thought he could have never fought again. But he was a great fighter, but I thought he was a great one.
That was never too great. Too big, too fast, too strong. There's nobody you can name. He was too big, too strong. He was first classified.
His early days were good.
No. Drafting, he was classified unfit to go. And then all of a sudden, he was fit to go. So now there's some hanky panky. He took a stand. So this is very favorable to African Americans. And, you know, I look at the situation to him. Why did he have to go? Why did Joe DiMaggio? Did you know Joe DiMaggio was a secretary that the government was investigating his family? Did you know that?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
How messed up is that? And Joe wanted to go on
the side. Let's think about Joe Lewis. Look what he did for America.
And
look what happened. And the IRS took it away from him. Joe Lewis was one of the greatest men going. He was everywhere.
Well,
millions of miles.
Ali talked about that. Ali said, hey, man, you know, Ali said something, and I got it here. That's just so profound. Ali said here, if I thought going to the military would be beneficial to the advantage of my people, they would not have to pass me. I would go.
Didn't he go?
Because the situation did not dictate that.
Do you know how many of my friends died in Vietnam?
But you understand, you know, you and Mike and your family, you judge people by the content of their character, not their color. But the powers that be,
My good friend Calvin Belton, one of my best friends growing up, was African American, and he died. And I was sick over that.
I know.
My version of Ali. Everybody has
a lot of this too. See, the deep down thing, a lot of this is the Joe Frazier
family.
Listen. Hey, you know what? I like that. He's from Ali.
Stop.
Oh, Dad.
I also have my version of Willie Mays too, but I keep my mouth shut. and my stuff to tell you. That's a first one.
Yeah, I heard.
You want to hear? Oh, you heard about that?
It was a little hard to,
and I ripped up the card, and I'm sorry because if I went with the money, I would have
ruined. You know what? I had a buddy, Larry Hardesty. Last night, he spoke in the Blog Talk Radio. Larry was interviewing Willie. He said, "Doc, Willie gave me such a hard time. I threw away Willie's name."
He said, "I should have given him." Yeah.
He said, "Willie gave me
a card."
Well, it is a blast. You're having a blast. It's Christmas 2017 here. We're up.
You got to sit back. I'm going to sit back and listen. I understand.
My son is very
good. Listen, I'm going to sit here and say this. I'm going to sit here and say this. Listen, I don't want to put you on blast on live. And the respect factor got to get thrown out the window. But I'm going to tell you, that DNA doesn't follow us. We don't share the same.
No.
Listen, Mike, Artie, when Dad knew Joe Frazier's name, and when he did it, he was so cool, you know. You know, I'm saying, Riley, I'm a Joe Frazier, and he moved on, you know. Hey, Mike, Blue Joe and Chico.
Stop barking.
Hey, what's that? Listen,
we'll put them in here for you later. Stop. One day, I want you to come over on Sunday, all right? And whatever your favorite food is, my whole family. And my in-laws, Uncle Dean, even though he hates the Yankees, and we'll have a nice day. And what's your favorite meal?
I'm not going to fix this. I'm not worried about
okay,
it.
Okay, very good. You're going to have this.
We used to call him Little Pete. But after that big showing, he's Three Pete.
Three Pete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Yeah.
25. 23. They lost game.
Yeah.
You still what's that? Movie has stopped. Still the Golden State Warriors?
Mm-hmm.
So you see them again? They're going to win the championship again? Yeah. Win again? What's the story? Win the championship again?
Yeah, I think
so. Mm-hmm. So now, why you walk somebody like your dad said you probably. Emulating the set.
Yep.
So now, you think you may be shooting too many
threes? I don't know.
For you, the threes are late.
Mm-hmm.
I like your style. Three feet. Because the threes are late. And that depends on 3 points, right? It's better than two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how long have you been in football, no baseball, track, or sort?
I'm in
basketball. Yeah, I like on people. So you're guard, senior guard, or what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I kind of had that one. You know what I mean? So go and say, who's the best player in the league? Is it still LeBron James? Surprised by some move? Kyrie Irving going to Celtics? Kyrie's a little stunned by. What do you think it's about? Jealous? I just don't understand the guy going to change his teams in a row. He's never played with LeBron. You think he just wanted his own team?
Yeah, I think. Because he didn't get the call out of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now Cleveland's starting to put the ball in. They're starting to be, one team, but I think Cleveland has reclaimed their status as the number one team in that division. Rose, is it help? There's going to be a big factor. If it gets help, that's a big factor, right? And I heard there's some CP leaving Houston.
Okay. So George is going to be gone, right?
Yes.
Where's he going?
Allowance as a team back, So he break the plane, but he's not catching it. It's not so much as the call made.
Yeah.
In this case, the call was made right.
And
so
with the Bills.
Go ahead.
It's a similar yesterday. The same call was made. Toe was dragging. Ball was bobbling. Like similar, I'm not saying it was the same catch, but similar situation. You know what they're going to do? I think they're going to make this.
Leave it alone. Catch the ball and then hold to it. Don't catch the ball and drop it.
Not Death Bryant catcher with the Packers, you know, same thing.
Speaking of the Packers, Aaron Rodgers was on the back for the rest of the season. Cowboys lost yesterday. Man, how much they missed Philly.
Can we go back to basketball for a little bit tonight? Yeah. Because his generation, you know what it is? Like, Michael Jordan, for instance, set the tone of everything. Even with the video games. When Michael Jordan was finally put in a video game, it was across America. Okay, now who cares? Basketball. Now everybody says basketball came back in 2010. And not just because Kobe Bryant won another title, because they dropped Jordan in the video game. Now, so like, you know, what I'm trying to say is the Warriors, going back to what you said, all these super teams, everything is a super team. I just got one question, and I really want your opinion on this. So, do the Golden State Warriors? I just have one thing to say about Donald Trump. The Golden State Warriors, is four of those players all-stars? So, like, Klay Thompson, Stephon Curry, Draymond, and Kevin Durant, are they all all-stars? So let me ask you a question. So the starting five for the Golden State Warriors are all-stars. Okay? So let me ask you a question. You got four all-stars on the team, right? All right. So four teams were allowed to be on a team. Now let me ask you one question. And like I said, I just want to ask you because, you know, you've been around the sports game longer than me. Do you remember when Chris Paul and Dwight Howard were possibly going to the Lakers? Do you remember that, when they were talking about that, going with Kobe Bryant? But what happened? And I'm trying to remember here. All the unions came together and opposed it, right? Is that what happened? This is what I remember. I remember a whole bunch, all the organizations came together. They did a vote with the union or something, and they opposed it. And that was three all-stars. It might be, you know, different caliber players, but Kevin Durant possibly going to Golden State when there's three all-stars, now four. So my question is, isn't that a little bit of hypocrisy right there? So they didn't allow Chris Paul and Dwight Howard to go with Kobe Bryant, but they allowed Durant to go with Stephon Curry and then Draymond Green and Klay Thompson on top of that. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan, but I'm not saying I'm a Warriors fan. No,
bro.
I'm just saying four superstars, but they opposed three.
The power would be doing what they would do.
Yeah.
Have it the way they do it.
My point, the powers to be, right? Where's Kevin Durant from? Kevin Durant from Washington, right? It's a new executive director, Michelle Roberts, was in law, public defender,
whatever,
for Washington, D.C. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy here. I don't know. He came in right around the same time. That's all I'm saying.
What is the sense?
So I'm saying, she was one of the best public defenders in Washington, D.C. She became the executive director in 2014.
Come on in.
What am I just saying here?
No,
I mean, isn't that something? All I said was, long story short, they opposed formed by Howard going to Baker's with Kobe, but they okayed Kevin Durant to go to a team with three all-stars. And all I'm saying is, long story short, Kevin Durant is from Washington, D.C., and the new executive director of the NBA has a history as a public defender and being an attorney.
Where
is she from? Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
A little bit of a conspiracy going on.
Let it
okay, back.
What do you say to Mr. Stern? What's it called?
Mr. Stern's been going two for years.
Okay.
Okay.
So that goes to the difference. I mean, when you had Stern, it was
but,
one.
But how about this? Derek Fisher was union president. I'm not saying he had the powers. That's the director who had the power of that. But come on. Derek Fisher, he still did his job against
the Bills. You know how people take game of basketball over the dollar.
I want to do research of Michelle Roberts to see if she has any affiliation with Kevin Durant.
He's saying that the show is not definitely cleared or agreed on by the
I look at it from a basketball capacity because I haven't wanted to watch basketball as much as I have before Kevin Durant went to the Warriors. Mostly because basketball is predictable. You always go to the playoffs.
And the Olympic team, was the Olympic team the starting five of the team?
It's possible that you say that. The thing was, you know, I can wait to the playoffs because I know who's going to be here.
Yeah, I love basketball. When I was watching today, I watched the best go up against the best. That's the only games I really want to watch. I don't want to see Kevin Durant, the Warriors, face. You know,
I love the Spurs.
13th seed, it's just annoying to me because when you have a team, you basically have the Western All-Stars on one team.
Yes.
And, you know, no disrespect, obviously, you have James Harden. You have the exceptions, but you have a very good team in the East. You have LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Obviously, you know, Kyrie is going to stay. Had that big win streak. Have that win streak. The Cavaliers are getting their mojo back. And at the end of the day, LeBron James is LeBron James is the best in the world. And he's gonna conquer the East. Warriors are going to conquer the West. The only team right now I think has it to give it the Warriors problems. But Kawhi Leonard,
he's up there in age too, Doc.
I think the thing with CP3 is the reason why he has the propensity to get hurt. He spends more time on the bench.
Speaking of problems, when he's on the court, they're effective. Obviously, hard to coach.
Coaching is another.
With Steph Curry out right now, for example, when CP3 was out on the Warriors, they weren't as good as when Steph Curry's down. Obviously, he's out right now. They're still rolling because. That's a team. I have seen Draymond Green. I have these. The only way the Warriors is just Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are out. And you have people right now. Any other team with the MVP. You look at a lot more because, for example, his skills are even his skills there. The fact that he's on the worst list is his education. I don't
signed a two-year contract. Signed a two-year contract.
Bosch wasn't really that superstar.
When you look, hold on, when you look exactly, Chris Bosch is a great player. But the Heat was not bad at all.
And Wade wasn't 79. Wade was
top 79 with the reigning unanimous.
And Mike, don't forget, Wade and Bosch.
You've never seen
the top three players on the same team. That's all I'm saying.
But ever since you Scottie stars in their prime. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's all business now.
What I just say?
Freaking,
Now, but now, it's about the question.
guys coming up. Franco, just New York, because I know Franco, Saddam Ali, all these guys. There's a chance that they have to actually make World States now.
Saddam,
and went up 2 weight classes, don't forget, too.
Who's that? Well, the first time late day saw him, he's over the right hand. But people don't. Listen. I did two things there.
Tired, not to be off topic. Question. Conversation the past 2 weeks saying who is the greatest Puerto Rican fighter of all time?
It's Trinidad. It's definitely better than Combat Pocket. I say
we're Camacho.
Camacho number one.
Thank you.
And
Wilfredo Benitez.
Thank you, Camacho is number one, too.
Camacho.
My brother said two people would have gave Mayweather a lot of their money, Sugar Ray Leonard or Hector Camacho.
Tommy's done his whole life.
140 was unbelievable.
Boxing is a global. You've got Anthony Jones, a lot of these guys from the country. Sergey Kovalov, Gennady Golovkin, Jack.
So how did Andre
did his RM class. Who's the face of the United States?
It was Andre Ward. Superstar.
This is one of the 2000s.
Black.
And
You're the greatest MMA fighters. When you think of football, you think of the greatest running backs, the greatest quarterbacks. When you think of baseball, you think of the greatest pitchers. But they all fall under the spectrum called I feel as if boxing 5 years associated boxing more with Floyd Mayweather than they did with anything else. And this is just coming from this standpoint. I mean, anytime you look on you're talking about PR, that's why I bring anytime you look up a box you know, release or an advertisement, it usually has the fighter's name and nothing about the, like, the WBC. Or, like, back in the day, man, the WBC was fitting. You had these guys, they had their own advertisement. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is, it's quite the time for boxing to become boxing again in the eyes in the public eye.
I'm talking about
the modern.
Well, yeah, but, you are the exception, not the rule. Okay, you're a young guy. You know what? The average, people like MMA. They like it because it's a young man. You quality fight. They're not 12 rounders. They're 4 rounders. I can stay half an hour and watch 4 fights. I can go watch the same fight still going on. Hold on. Yeah.
My brother pointed the heavyweight championship.
My brother
made the arguments about how the world heavyweight title. I got off by a year or two, but the timeline does lie.
The problem is, I think he didn't start till the early 2000s.
And the problem was, I think that's when you saw, Tyson, Rex Lewis, the end of that era. So I think two things happened. The heavyweight championship went with Chris Gold or whatever.
And left America.
And then I think the fans' image, they were used to
They lost.
And you added a positive.
The knockout is what validated steroids because Bellacy's three-run home run, then it's knocks and runs.
And I see holding or beautiful science for 12 rounds. So I need a knockout. I need America. I appreciate Klitschko. 11 years, all the time. His record for Joe Lewis.
I clearly agree with you. But do you think that it's more of the lack of attention span in Americans, or do you think it's a lack of appreciation for the science? See, I disagree. I think it's a lack of attention.
I just know what. 2 and 2 is 4, and 3 plus 1 is 4, right? You today, and with that, you have the lack of appreciation. But nobody's fucking three.
From 04 to 04, after Lewis, if you had an American that was holding the title, all I'm saying is, if you had an American heavyweight to help people after Tyson, do you think you'll see what the big deal is? America, the substitute, because the title was
back in the day, everybody champion of the world, pick up the newspaper, that.
heavyweight champion of the world is the biggest thing happening. So they tell you that he's last night at the Knicks Celtics game. Muhammad Ali. Thursday at the Yankee Dodger game, Rocky Marciano was in the crowd. Last Tuesday at Wimbledon, we saw Mike Tyson. You know, last Thursday at the Yankee Dodger game, was shown was always where the heavyweight champion was. Wherever he was.
It's like Mr. President, even though they're not president.
Right. Tremendous point. You always knew where he was.
When you see Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, you don't call him Jimmy Carter. You say Mr. President, Mr. Champion.
And through the course of history, you always knew where Jack Johnson was, Jim Jeffrey was, Jack Dempsey, Joe.
Well, I think when he fights the millennial champ, yeah, I think he's up there.
He has to be Josh.
I think he has to be Josh.
But see, the point is,
or he's
you know what?
Fight.
He's a real deal. It's sad and touching.
Sad.
You don't give him anymore.
No,
really
I think
can.
It's all about image.
My question is, what do you
do? Let's
the image. The image of the heavyweight champion.
At the end of the day, with the whole UFC,
the fan base,
I think boxing is a different I think Jeff Horns, Conor McGregor. You look at the millennials now, they're looking at boxing. They don't follow the old school pattern that they had that way back. And it's, I think boxing is just our time. I think boxing is broke right now. Don't think it's going to be the way. I mean, a lot of jobs in the United States.
But that's the thing about pay-per-view. Yeah. The sad thing is that
But you know, that's a fight worth pay per view.
The other super fight on pay per view caliber.
It's fed. It's Michael Catchman said, and
who's this?
Somebody said it one time.
You know, if you build it, it will come.
And you know, unfortunately, the two people will leave. They don't know. Yeah, people in this business shouldn't be in business and don't know anything about the business. You know, a lot of people don't know what people think they know. Makes it a sad show. We're reluctantly going our way.
I got out of town.
It's great, Marvin, all year round.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expected that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and this is my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. And we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And with that, let's go. Mike, Hardy, the lovely wives, people. The question is, what? Every dollar is a patient. I'm just enjoying it. I'm telling you, it's worth it. I'm going to be the way I pass the time.
All over town and just to see what I could find.